Welcome to the Chrisman Commentary Daily Mortgage News Podcast. I'm your host, Robbie Chrisman. Topics on today's episode include total loan production expenses, my interview with Optimal Blue's Mike Vogue on refining margin management to improve loan profitability and reduce risk, and it's pretty quiet out there in the capital markets. Thanks to this week's podcast sponsor, Optimal Blue. Optimal Blue's smart solutions automate critical functions like pricing, hedging, trading, and social media. Actionable data provides timely insights to bolster operational and competitive strategies. Together with real-time industry connections to 70-plus technology vendors, their marketplace platform enables you to compete more effectively and elevate results. More originators and investors rely upon Optimal Blue's integrated solutions, data, and connections to support their unique business strategies, no matter how complex. At the Great River Conference in Memphis, much of the information being presented is about how to do things more efficiently. And for good reason. As the MBA's calculations for independent mortgage banks and mortgage subsidiaries of chartered banks last showed that total loan production expenses, which include commissions, compensation, occupancy, equipment, and other production expenses and corporate allocations, increased to $12,485 per loan in the fourth quarter. On the income side of things, borrowers who obtained adjustable-rate mortgage loans 3, 5, or 7 years ago have popped up on LO screens for refinances. And you can bet that companies who own that servicing are all over those borrowers like hounds on a meat wagon. For today's interview, I wanted to welcome back to the show Optimal Blue's Mike Vogue to talk about refining margin management to improve loan profitability and reduce risk. He's Vice President of Hedging and Trading Products at Optimal Blue, and in this role, he's responsible for managing the product development cycle of pipeline risk management, loan buy and sell side tools, mortgage servicing rights or MSR valuations, whole loan valuations, and lead generation software.
I want to start by talking about margin management, and before I get into how Optimal Blue is helping market participants optimize every step of the process, I want to talk margin management in general. Can you explain to listeners kind of the art of margin management, and then what separates somebody who's good at it or great at it from somebody who merely just does it?
Yeah, it's a hot topic right now. Lenders are fighting for every little penny, right? Every little basis point to remain profitable or climb out of the depths of unprofitability. And we've all seen some of the stats out there in the marketplace. It's tough out there right now. But there's things that lenders can do to, you know, kind of climb up that profitability pole in some cases. And, you know, it comes down to the fact of, or comes down to the level of granularity that folks get to in terms of their margin. You know, in the good times, people could say, oh, you know, I got a 0.2 point margin on all my channels and all my products, and it doesn't matter because, you know, things are great. But when things aren't great, it becomes super imperative for lenders to start looking and continuing to make that margin process more more precise, right, for every type of loan scenario. And I think something that kind of gets lost is the natural feedback loop that there is between front-end pricing and when you actually go to sell those loans in the secondary market. For example, you may not need the same level of margin on a loan if you're going to get a 25 basis point pay-up from an investor on that specific loan characteristic, right? Maybe you need 25 basis points less of margin then, because you're expecting to make some on your loan sale piece. And so the folks who really excel at this, they not only have that feedback loop, but they're getting all different types of data sources included. And they really have their finger on the pulse of the market. There's a ton of ways where that's become like very difficult in the current environment. But there are a lot of tools out there that kind of help folks with that in terms of getting not only their fingertip on the marketplace, but also that data feedback loop that we keep talking about.
Maybe that's a good segue into talking about Optimal Blue. How do you feel like your technology helps companies realize every basis point possible? Because that really is the name of the game.
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I think that the big differentiator for how Optimal Blue helps folks is the fact that we are the only player out there that has that true end-to-end capital markets platform for folks in the secondary marketplace. When I think about what are the three main responsibilities of somebody in a cap market seed or running a secondary marketing department for a lender, it's pricing, it's hedging, it's trading, right? Those are the three main things that folks need to be thinking about. You know, I know on the pricing side, everybody knows Optimal Blue for our PPE, but we also have a very robust hedging and trading practice. And those three things, when they're connected together, they kind of transcend each other to not just be about pricing, not just about hedging, not just about trading, but it all drives down to the profitability on a singular loan. So some of the things, so not only just having those two pieces of technology that represent those top three things in cap markets, you know, under the same umbrella, but we've been starting to kind of move them closer and closer together. A couple of things that we've done, you know, we've connected our lead generation platform Capture to the OBPPE. That really helps when you think about supercharging retention. You might think, well, how does that have to do with pricing? But you know, recapture is a big part of MSR valuations. And so if you're able to fine tune that, that might be able to give you a leg up on the pricing side. And something I'm always trying to remind people is, and this might seem elementary, but sometimes get lost in the shuffle, right? Higher price, lower rate, more competitive to the borrower, right? That's helping the borrower get the most advantageous price to them. And then the second thing that we've done, and there's a couple on the horizon that I might be able to let a couple breadcrumbs out about, but the other second one is connecting our PPE to our hedging and trading platform for the for price discovery. So with the advent of bulk pricing on loans and the you know kind of the walk away from investors publishing AOT rate sheets, there's not a lot of discoverability out there, right? You price a loan thinking you might get a bulk pickup of 10 basis points, but whoa, maybe one day it's 20, maybe the next day it's negative 5, because investors have dynamic pricing models that are living behind APIs. And so what we've done to help connect that is we've included an API from our PPE, or product and pricing engine, to our hedging and trading system so lenders could get that best efforts price included in their mark-to-market. And one of the really strange kind of counterintuitive things we've noticed with this is somewhere in that neighborhood of 7 to 10% of loan sales on our systems are actually done locking a loan best efforts after you've hedged it. It's really strange. There's a couple theories as to why. Maybe it's CRA bids being incorporated in the best effort rate sheet, but not on their mandatory pricing window. Maybe it's spec payups. Maybe it's a variety of other reasons as well. But it's something that we have to make sure that lenders are looking at because it represents a material portion of that best X right now.
So I will get to price discovery here in a minute, but I want to talk about a recent white paper that Optimal Blue released that I had a chance to look through. The topic is refining margin management to improve loan profitability and reduce risk. Let's talk macro, then micro, and I'll start with macro to not give you too much at first. What is the overall pricing strategy that a company, what are some best practices for a company to have their optimal overall pricing strategy dialed in? I guess common places that you see companies can have room for improvement.
Yeah, it basically comes down to some tiers that we mentioned in the white paper. And we view this kind of as aspirational for lenders to kind of work towards. Like there's nothing wrong with being in tier one and having aspirations of moving to tier four. And if you're in the tier four that I'll get to in a second, there's always things that you could do on the periphery. Tier one, we think of those folks who are pricing best efforts, right? At that point, that's what probably the lion's share of lenders do today, but you don't really have a lot of control over the pricing. You're beholden to those investors. And their best efforts mandatory spread can change throughout the course of the life of that loan, and you really don't have control. You might have optionality to your loan officers, but the control of what you offer is in somebody else's hands. Tier two is the folks who price mandatory. And usually when you think of people pricing mandatory, you think of a proprietary rate sheet. Fictitiously, like if I was a lender, I'd have like the Mike Vogue mortgage rate sheet, right? And that's typically based off of that agency's secondary market executions, whether it's cash pricing, MBS, different mandatory investors, and so on. And there's a pickup there that we track here at Optimal Blue. It's the best efforts mandatory spread. And depending on the product, that's an extra 25 to 40 basis points on average that we see. And we've got tons of charts that show this stuff on a daily basis at Optimal Blue. So reach out if you want to see that. That's tier two. But when you move to tier three, right, this is where we kind of up that mandatory level. So there's, you know, price discovery, right? I mentioned that it used to be really easy to do price discovery. Every day, the big, you know, investors would send out rate sheets that had detailed pricing structure. So you knew exactly what, you know, investor A was charging for this FICO band versus investor B. But as technology kept up and people were able to be more dynamic, that discovery went away and it became more opaque. So we added some features to our hedging systems that help with that price discovery, whether it is things such as that API I mentioned earlier that pulls in best effort pricing. We have APIs that pull in mandatory pricing on a daily basis, not just for loan sales. We also have APIs that connect you to servicing brokers. So you don't have to rely upon a grid that's updated once a month for your servicing, but you're getting that real live feedback loop of the servicing market also included in your pricing. And that's kind of tier three, right? You have your mandatory starting point, but you really pick up that price discovery piece. And then finally, tier four, and I think there's always level to improve on tier four, but it goes to that feedback loop I talked about earlier, right? You're executing, selling loans on the secondary marketplace. How does that influence your front end pricing? And there's a couple ways that we do that with data. The first being, you know, you might be doing things during your loan sale that are for overall best X or aggregate best X, but not loan level. A concept here might be, hey, you might have a loan that is eligible for a spec pay up, you know, 85K loan, but you might be able to move that loan into the normal vanilla multi-issuer pool and then squeeze an extra high balance loan in there. And you might actually save more on the high balance loan than that low balance loan, right? You think of, hey, 20 bips on an 85K loan versus, you know, a point or more on a high balance loan. Well, that one loan looks like you lost some money, but you gained money in aggregate. How does that impact your pricing, right? Maybe you don't want to pass through a full spec pay up on your front end pricing for your spec. And now maybe you want to pass through a portion of the high balance drop into your front end pricing. It's that feedback loop that as you start to add that on top of that price discovery, that we really see those best in class lenders really, even in today's market, really strive and thrive.
And would you say that it's similar to someone who takes up golf, where it's probably pretty easy to shave off a bunch of strokes or save a bunch of basis points when you go tier one to tier two versus it's a lot harder going tier three to tier four than finding those extra savings once you're in tier
four? I think that's a fantastic analogy. I like to think that Optimal Blue helps moving along tier two to three and then three to four, but it's definitely a steep sophistication curve. And you know, you could very easily pick up some price advantage by going from best efforts to mandatory. But those moving from tier three to tier four requires an established technology vendor who has all these bells and whistles, plus the operators on the lender side to do it as well.
So another interesting point in the white paper was I don't want to use optimal too much here, but the optimal relationship between pricing, hedging, and loan sales strategies in order to save money. And there is definitely value in having your product and pricing engine and your hedging technology that are quote unquote connected at the hip. Can you explain this feedback loop, first off, how it works, and then ultimately the benefits to those that are utilizing it?
Yeah, absolutely. So the feedback loop, it's very similar to, let's go back to that golf analogy, right? You start playing, you're rising up that, you know, that player ranking, but maybe, you know, you're starting to keep track of your score and you realize that you're always three putting, right? Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to focus your time on? You're going to focus your time on putting, right? And that's that same type of feedback loop that we talk about here. The idea here being, yeah, you might be making more secondary gain loss, but that extra gain loss that you might be getting there, and that's on top of margin, right? So for example, you have a loan priced at 101, 1 point margin, but then lo and behold, when you go and sell it, you make 25 basis points. Well, that extra 25 basis points looks good. It looks like profit, right? But if your margin was 75 basis points instead of that point, maybe you could have originated another loan. And so it's this concept of taking those secondary gains and kind of moving them forward into the pricing process so you can be more competitive upfront. You know, the lion's share of the profit on these loans aren't coming from extra 10, 20 basis points that you're getting in secondary. It's coming from the fact that you might be making 2, 3, 4 points of margin on them. And doing more of them is more economically beneficial for the company as opposed to, you know, a couple basis points here in secondary gain loss. And so just to kind of summarize there, it kind of will show you the holes in your pricing strategy by having that like directly connected together. And it's not like this today, but we're starting to put together these little pieces here and here where, you know, the PPE and the hedging and trading systems are lockstep so that yesterday's loan sales are directly influencing today's, you know, pricing strategies. And you can even go a step further when you start to think about things that are a little bit more, take a little bit more time, right? Think about things like a pull-through analysis. Think about the profitability of different branches. Think about hedge cost. These are really important concepts, but they're more at like the 3, 6, 9 month interval that you would review them. So think about this too, right? Like, you know, in any hedging system, it's tracking things like hedge cost, right? That 25 to 40 basis points I mentioned earlier for the man best effort spread isn't free. You have to hedge then too. Well, if you're doing a bad job hedging and that's 12 basis points of hedge cost when it should be 7 or 8, well, that's something that you should consider in your total margin. And then I'll go a step further. Maybe it's a singular branch that's driving that, right? It's somebody who's, you know, always extending without getting payment for it, or always renegotiating, or their pull through is just generally lousy. Those things lead to more hedge cost. So you can even take it a step further and say, yeah, I get it at the product level. I know I should, you know, fine tune my spec pay up margin or my high balance margin, but, you know, branch 1, 2, 3, their pull through is just terrible and it's incurring more hedge cost for me. Well, I should then be adjusting their pricing to account for that. So, you know, like the nirvana state that we're building up to here is that it becomes a living, breathing, like feedback loop engine that directly impacts your profitability.
You beat me to my next question. I was going to ask about nirvana or utopia. I'll ask it in my own way. What is the holy grail when it comes to capital markets, technology, and optimal pricing? There, I used optimal again. In terms of, like, where can we eventually get to? What does the future look like 5, 10, 15 years down the road?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'll keep taking the optimal plays in there. I love it. I think, you know, when we look out in the future, we could be pretty bold. There's a lot of not just Optimal Blue, but I think the whole mortgage tech space is kind of driving for innovation. But what I see in the horizon, think of almost like airplane pricing, airplane ticket pricing, right? It's a dynamic based model. You might have to go incognito mode to get the best price, but it's a living, breathing thing. And there's not somebody feeding a paper rate sheet into an airplane pricing model, at least to my knowledge. And so I feel like that is where we'll see a lot of pickup over the next couple of years. Almost even think about a world where, hey, your front end pricing isn't dependent upon someone posting a rate sheet and then having very granular, complex LPA's margins on top of it, but it's looking at a living, breathing pricing source, right? That's incorporating information about previous borrowers, previous behavior of LOs, et cetera, that's driving that. And I think there'll be also ways to kind of decrease even hedge cost in the future, because you think about how, you know, we talk a lot about pricing today and margin, but that hedging piece is a big piece of that margin too. And I think a little bit further down the road, you know, you're seeing a ton of providers, ours and Optimal Blue included, who are making things more and more automated, right? Taking multi-click processes and getting it down to a singular click. Now, one of the things that I'll do a shameless plug for in our loan sales tool is we brought a process that was really cumbersome. It took a lot of clicks, a lot of batch processes, and we got it down to 6 clicks, right? And, you know, when you do something like that, you kind of see a world where it becomes one click, right? We have a couple of exciting things coming out for our hedging product, Compass Edge, which will probably be coming out around the secondary in New York. And you'll kind of see another feature like that, where a complicated process that takes somebody a couple seconds, maybe even a couple minutes, maybe an hour to look and make a decision, distilled down to a simple button. And when you add a bunch of buttons like that, you can see a world where you easily stream them together. And maybe you get something where it's semi-close to an out-of-office type functionality. Maybe it's loan sales, and you're only tapped on the shoulder when something breaks tolerance, instead of having somebody who's grinding through that sale process. And with that, there's time efficiencies that get picked up from that. But I think those are kind of the two places where you'll see a lot of innovation, right? Like a more dynamic pricing model, and then more and more process efficiencies that are brought to the secondary marketplace.
Holy smokes, you got me salivating over here. I'm gonna rein in my excitement for the time being. When it comes to the future, I hope to see you at the secondary in New York. I look forward to it, so we can discuss some of this further. I thought this was a great interview today. Thank you very much, Mike. I appreciate it.
Appreciate the time as always, Robbie.
A day after Fed Chair Powell threw cold water on expectations for rate cuts this year by admitting progress against inflation had stalled, Treasury and mortgage security prices rallied yesterday, dropping rates some, aided by excellent demand at a $13 billion 20-year Treasury bond reopening. Remember, even a dead cat bounces. There is some chatter out there that Fed Chair Powell's tonal pivot last year is partly to blame for the lack of recent progress against inflation. Futures are now pricing in a maximum of 2 25 basis point rate hikes in 2024, a far cry from the nearly 150 basis points of easing that Fed funds futures had anticipated at the beginning of the year. There was no top-tier data of note yesterday, but the Fed did release its April Beige Book, which noted that the economy has expanded at a slight pace since February. Price increases were modest on average, and 10 of the 12 Federal Reserve districts reported slight or modest growth, while 2 reported no change. Consumer spending edged up slightly, though discretionary spending was pressured in some districts. Tourism increased modestly, but varied widely across the 12 districts. Residential construction grew a little, while non-residential construction was flat. Employment rose at a slight pace, while prices grew modestly, maintaining the pace seen in the last report. We also learned yesterday that single-family home prices increased 7.4% from the first quarter of 2023 to the first quarter of 2024, up from the previous quarter's revised annual growth rate of 6.6%, according to Fannie Mae's latest home price index reading. The National Repeat Transaction Home Price Index measures the average quarterly price change for all single-family properties in the U.S., excluding condos. On a quarterly basis, home prices rose a seasonally adjusted 1.7% in the first quarter of this year, essentially the same as the growth in the fourth quarter of last year. On a non-seasonally adjusted basis, home prices also increased by 1.7% in the first quarter of this year. Today's economic calendar began with weekly jobless claims, which came in at 212,000, up 1,000 from the prior week, with continuing claims in at 1.812 million, so the labor market continues to do just fine. We've also received Philadelphia Fed manufacturing, which came in at 15.5, whatever that means, but it was way up. I did see an interesting report in Bloomberg yesterday that indicated cracks in the U.S. labor market that has been near historic strength for much of the past 2 years are forming. In 5 states, California, Connecticut, Nevada, New Jersey, and Washington, the ratio of jobless people per opening is now 1 or more. Meanwhile, Arizona and New York are nearing parity with a rate of 0.9, according to February data from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. Later today brings March existing home sales and leading indicators, Freddie Mac's primary mortgage market survey, and, once again, remarks from multiple Fed speakers. It's also a busy day for the Treasury, which will both announce month-end supply consisting of $69 billion of 2-year, $70 billion of 5-year, $44 billion of 7-year notes, and $32 billion of 2-year FRNs, and auction $23 billion of 5-year TIPS. After the initial jobless claims news, we begin the day with agency MBS prices marginally worse than Wednesday evening, the 10-year yielding 4.61 after closing yesterday at 4.59%, and the 2-year at 4.95%. Let's wrap up with a joke and some housekeeping. Every morning I get hit by the same bicycle. It's a vicious cycle. The word incorrectly is spelled incorrectly in every dictionary. Oh, who would have known? Thanks again to this week's podcast sponsor, Optimal Blue. Optimal Blue's smart solutions automate critical functions like pricing, hedging, trading, and social media. Actionable data provides timely insights to bolster operational and competitive strategies. Together with real-time industry connections to 70-plus technology vendors, their marketplace platform enables you to compete more effectively and elevate results. More originators and investors rely on Optimal Blue's integrated solutions, data, and connections to support the unique business strategies, no matter how complex. If you have any questions about the podcast or sponsoring opportunities, send me an email at robbie@robchrisman.com. Visit robchrisman.com for more information on our industry partners, access to archived commentaries, and how to subscribe to the daily mortgage news and commentary. To listen to or download past episodes of this podcast, search Mortgage News on any platform you get your podcast from.